This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. One heck of a show today. We've got the OTB Open recap. We'll have the Manufacturers Cup update with some very fun little facts thrown in there. We're going to talk about the Champions Cup move, which was announced.
Boo.
Hey, no spoilers. We'll do a little Trevor's trivia, and then we got two Chris and Tatar highlights, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Ooh. Before we update our top 10.
Dang.
So stay tuned for all of that. You're not going to miss it, but before we get into all of it, I want to thank the sponsor of today's episode. Fellas, blink if you haven't purchased a Father's Day gift yet. Yeah, we thought so. Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, and our friends at Manscaped have crafted the total package for your father's special day. Whether it's for body hair, his beard, or even the best pair of underwear out there, Manscaped has his bases covered. Head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED. You know that beard trimmer your dad's been using since you were in grade school? Yeah, probably needs upgrading. Introducing the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. This complete beard maintenance kit is for all the bearded kings. It's an all-in-one kit that comes with a beard hedger, Manscaped's most advanced beard trimmer, as well as shampoo, conditioner, oil, and balm for his beard. It also comes with a brush, comb, and scissors so he can style his beard and mustache like the true gentleman he is. No beard kit would be complete without Manscaped's handyman face shaver for that smooth finish we know he loves. This bad boy is all he needs. Compact enough to fit in any travel case, you can make sure he takes it on his next trip. This Father's Day is also the perfect time for your old man to stop stealing his wife's nail clippers and finally have a kid of his own that'll last him a lifetime. The Shears 3.0 is a five-piece precision men's nail grooming kit that any father needs to stay on top of his self-care with professional-grade stainless steel tools, sized and styled for the task at hand. Plus, that set of underwear he got for Christmas a decade ago definitely needs some upgrading. What better way than with the Manscaped Boxers 2.0? So, you can get 20% off and free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED over at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code GRIPLOCKED. Happy Father's Day from Manscaped.
Love the beard hedger.
Yeah, it's fantastic. OTB Open happened this past weekend, and we had Calvin Heimberg taking it down.
Beep. Open.
Ah, good call.
Not on this podcast.
Calvin Heimberg took it down. Gavin Rathbone came in second, and Randon Lada in third. And then over in FPO, we had Ella Hansen bringing home the title. Cap Merch coming in second, and Holland Handley in third.
Were you sweating out the Rathbone situation? Because you know that was my dark horse pick.
I couldn't remember if you had Rathbone or Gavcock.
No, that would have been that'd have been a 10-pointer. Yeah, I was sweating it out.
It would have been electric to see.
Yeah.
But on the FPO side, Ella Hansen took down her first ever Elite Series event. The story of the final round, though, is as much about Ella's solid play as it is about Holland's collapse.
That's bad.
Both were sitting at 20 under coming into the last day. It really felt like we were going to be in for a battle. Right out the gates, Ella comes out 3 under through 5, and Holland was one over through 5. And it was like, okay, let's get something going there, Holland, which she did. Boom, boom. Battled back to make it close through 7. And then went bogey double on 9 and 10. Ella went birdie par. And after that, the wind was out of the sails and just couldn't get it back.
Something you learn about golf pretty quickly when you watch enough of it, and this happens in traditional golf, disc golf, whatever, is if you want a duel on the final day, only having two players really positioned for said duel is a pretty unlikely chance.
Very rarely,
You need to have like six, seven guys or girls like already like in that area, and then two of them will probably emerge. You know, we just saw this happen with the PGA Championship, kind of similar thing where it's like all these guys on the final day, but only a few of them ever had a chance coming down the stretch. Same with this. It's like if you only have two players, and this is why with FPO, like if it were just like and this tournament's completely different. Kristen wasn't there, a lot of the good players. But like if it was just the Kristen and Missy, or for example, and if it was just them every tournament and they're the only two, but they get in a duel every time, it would be pretty interesting. But it's just really hard to have two players be the only two in position to really get into that mix and then expect them both to play well. Like, the odds are one of them is just going to have a better day, and that was for sure the case, especially once the pressure mounts. You know, it's very easy in that one-on-one matchup to, like, get a few strokes on somebody and just bury them with the momentum.
Well, it starts to feel like match play where you just like slowly you just see your lead, because like they were tied for the lead and, you know, Holland just watches it slowly go away. And you're like, all right, got a few back, and then just boom, it explodes. But Ella Hansen, this could be a really big moment for Ella, because we've seen her get into position a few different times before, and typically, historically, you would have expected this to be reversed.
Yeah.
You'd have expected Ella to have been the one that struggled and Holland to have emerged here, but that's not what happened at all. And I think it was important for this event to happen this way so that Ella can just... She didn't have stress down the stretch. Mm-hmm. She was able to just confidently walk this one home, and now she has that win.
Yeah.
And we saw with AB at the beginning of this year, once a player gets a win, it almost will unlock something sometimes.
Yeah.
To where, like, Ella Hansen has had the talent. Now, she is a little bit more course-specific, and I think courses like this fit really well for her. The good news is Portland Open, I think, also fits really well for her. And so now that she's unlocked this win and she's heading into a few different tournaments where she could really perform well with her distance and everything on the field.
State, you could play well as,
with that, like, advantage she has on the field and the win unlocked, this could be a big turning point in Ella Hansen's career, because, you know, it really could lead to 2, 3, who knows how many wins. Especially, we'll get into this a little bit later in the show, but with Kristen out for Portland and Beaver State, the field's going to be wide open like it is here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this definitely makes sense. Course set up well for her. She threw the disc really well. Putting was good enough. I think that it'll be interesting to see. She was definitely one of the last names on a list of FPO players that you really would expect to have had a win by now. Because Kat Merch, I believe, has hers. Got hers last year. If you look down the list of the top players, a lot of them have gotten their win, and she's just kind of been around. And I feel like this season's been pretty quiet for her, but she just hasn't quite been in the right courses necessarily or found her game. But yeah, she threw it really well. And when she's clicking, like, has some really great shots, really good forehand, very underrated forehand, I think, and is a competent putter. I mean, she's plenty good enough to win in the FPO division with the putter. I mean, you've seen Evelina win putting much worse and throwing the disc as well as Ella Hansen did. So I think she just has to rely on that arm and just keep throwing the disc consistently. But I would see her as a serious threat in Portland.
Yeah, well, what it really came down to is she led the field in circle one in regulation, circle two in regulation, and gained tee to green. Like you were saying, she just threw the disc really well.
Gained tee to green. I mean, we know that stat.
Yeah,
it's really easy to
do
understand.
I actually had Edwin Stats emailed me, and he's willing to send us a, like, 8-minute video of him explaining what gains. Because he's like, I think I can get your mind wrapped around it. I was like, I don't know if I want that. I think I kind of like being in the dark.
It's kind of fun to be like,
gain tee to green.
I'm not sure the video would help me understand.
Well, that's what his secondary recommendation is. Like, I could also just send it to Connor and have Connor relay the information if he wanted me to.
Yes.
And I was like, that could be fun.
Yes. Next Connor, episode of Grip Block, Connor will be explaining to us how the gained
Connor watches the strokes gained putting and gained tee to green video from Edwin and then has to relay the information.
No note taking. You just got
to absorb it. You got to absorb it and then off the dome.
Can we at least get it in a vertical video in like 30 seconds?
We get to question you too. So, like, you don't get to rewatch it, but then you present the information and then we ask you the questions.
But you're the authority. Whatever you say goes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just say it with a lot of confidence.
We'll agree with what you say.
Like, oh, really? That doesn't make sense, Connor, but okay. Oh. But yeah, Ella Hansen just threw the disc really well. And like you said, her putting was fine. 74% C1X.
Plenty good.
Plenty good. I mean, the leader of the field, funny enough, was Holland Hanley at 90%. But
collapsed.
what it came down to, the real separator was the OB stroke. Ella Hansen only had one. Holland Hanley had 8.
Yeah.
And Holland Hanley lost by 8 strokes. So there you go.
One OB stroke out there is really good.
Very impressive for Ella. Yeah, she was just throwing the disc very, very well. Another storyline within FPO was an incident with a spotter. Or a diver, if you will.
This is great. Did you see this, Connor?
No, I didn't.
If you didn't see this, you can find the video over on my Twitter. But it was during round one, I believe. Madison Walker shanked a shot that realistically had no chance of coming back in bounds. Okay, mm-hmm. But the diver is in the water, jumps out, snatches it midair. snatch it out of the air. Still flying. Sit catch. Now, Madison has come out and said she's thankful that he did that. It, like, saved her from losing a disc and that she,
good,
like, apparently there was some type of, like, joke going back and forth with her and him of, like, hey, if I shank this, grab it for me or something like that before the throw. None of that's on camera. So, yeah. like, the footage, and so the internet has not been as nice as Madison was because the footage is just, and even the commentary team was, like, disgusted. They're like, what? You can't do that? Because, like, yeah. they... From now, I asked Brody this because he was there playing the event,
okay.
and Brody has backed up like there was literally zero chance that
the
this was coming in.
The problem is from the angle that it was shooting is like the,
it looked
the
like
shore.
A chance.
Yeah, the shore was close enough that you could at least be like maybe in a wild world where it gets a good skip off the water.
Yeah,
like if you're in the middle of a lake and you do that, nobody cares. We're all just being like, "Oh, nice catch! You saved the disc." It was just, I think it was just a. The person in the water probably knew there was no chance it was getting good. We say, although you can't really know for sure. I mean, I'd have to be there to really know. But and obviously nobody's disgruntled, so it's just like, haha, it's funny. But yeah, you probably just got.
It was
let
a
that
bad look.
Like, wait till it hits the water, and then the second it hits, grab it. Because yeah. like it's not going to sink instantly.
If it would have like plopped, skipped into the reeds, and dropped, and then he grabbed
yeah,
it, no one's
no
saying a word.
Yeah.
But it was because he like jumped up and snatched it midair.
Yeah,
that it was just like, whoa. Now, what there was an interesting rule loophole that could have been used here, but wasn't.
Okay,
which
it hadn't
is
hit the ground
rule
yet.
Rule 810, subsection E. It says a thrown disc whose course was intentionally altered by someone other than the thrower is given a position at the point of contact as agreed on by the group. The thrower may choose to play from the resulting lie or to abandon the throw without penalty, in which case the original throw is not counted in the player's
Madison,
score.
You could have got your disc back and you
yeah, she could have just re-teed penalty free.
Now, okay, because it has intentionally altered.
Intentionally
in
altered.
Okay, I was going to say. So
now, just, what this also brings up.
So my buddy in the gallery.
That's what I was about to say.
Brother, if I go OB long, smack that thing out of
that's
the air.
That's what I was about to say. This does, I think, need to be rethought a little bit because, yeah. like, I could go, and if I'm in a playoff and I see my favorite player's disc going OB straight
I'm
towards
diving
me.
Diving in front of it.
Like, I'm absolutely, like, intentionally altering that. Now, that player, depending on, you know, if they're, like, if they know it was not coming back in, a lot of times I feel like that player just would ignore this.
They might not know, though.
But they would
shot.
Have the option of rethrowing that penalty free.
I just watched the video. It definitely, on that video, it looks like it very much has a possibility to yeah. fight through those.
From what
wasn't
I
great.
Understand,
those,
from what I understand is those reeds are OB,
that,
and
like,
they might as well be a brick wall.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Is that's how it's been told to me. But from the video, the mean, visual evidence you
still,
have at home is like, that had a chance of getting back. That
yeah,
had
yeah,
a chance of getting
like
through.
It
was a tough
chance.
Scene.
Yeah.
It was a tough
yeah.
scene.
It looked less like a catch, more like a block.
But again, it seemed like Madison... good spirits, didn't care. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there was some type of like joking going on
no,
before that like...
I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, she just moved on. It, to her, was a non-issue. It's just mm-hmm. the internet saw it and rightfully so yeah. freaked out because like, it looked like this spotter
it was pretty crazy
just sight. Jumped up and just like...
Has anybody heard
no
anything
reason.
About trumpet spotter or saxophone spotter?
I think it was more like the announcement before.
Okay.
And they like... Because someone plays the audio... Actually, I can probably play the audio.
Because I saw people tweeting about that.
There was a saxophone out there?
Let me see if I can play
well,
the audio
somebody
here.
Tweeted at Brody was like, you thought lightsaber spotter was crazy from last week. Wait till you see saxophone spotter. I think they said trumpet.
I don't think it was a spotter. I think that was what got people confused.
You're going to have to get
dang, dude.
Some
Brody
blush,
just gets
dude.
Into some Twitter fights.
There was some serious, yeah.
Hey, nice, okay, nice to know he's alive, though.
Did it
yeah,
actually?
It is good to know. This is the audio.
Okay.
I think it was when they were announcing players. I never watched. I was always tuning in late because I had stuff going on at like 6, so I always was watching by like hole 2 or 3, so I never saw if this was like how they announced people this year, but this is the audio from it.
I saw this either. I feel like I was watching though.
What is like, is my laptop coming through something? No, my sound's muted. What the heck? Okay.
It's
try this
like
again.
Blaring loud.
That's awesome.
He said, Robert Burridge.
So they were doing that for everybody?
Again, I don't know. I didn't see people getting
like
out someone.
It's like you're doing your monologue on Saturday Night
yeah,
Live.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I care that much, but hey, be
so
open,
fun.
Man. They were worshiping an egg last
say,
year. This year they got a saxophone, so we're getting slightly milder.
I didn't see the cult worship of the egg this year,
yeah.
so like... I can deal with saxophone.
We're getting, yeah, we're getting milder. Really, whose idea was that, though? Is what I want to know. Somebody sitting in the conference room was like, guys, I got this saxophone. Like, what if they announce a name and I just riffed off the craziest, like, little, like, sax solo?
Guys, my nephew is really good
at saxophone. Yeah. Well, no, I just popped off. May I pop off?
We got to start incorporating these bits into our videos. Like, next video somebody tees off, we need to have a little, like, phone app. Just be like,
Connor, are you good at the harmonica?
Oh, I can harmonic it up.
We gotta when we go on this trip we're going on later this week.
Yeah,
Connor should bring a harmonica and be like, "Hey, unnamed disc golfer, is it cool with you if before we tee off we do our ritual?" Connor's like, "All right, first up, Hunter." That was a Trevor Stop Show theme song,
or you just make it like really. Was it?
It was.
Oh, I thought it was somebody's birthday in here. That's crazy.
no one gets that because it's already, the next tone.
I already spoiled it at some point.
It would be even funnier if you made it even more awkward and you were like, "Welcome to the tea, Hunter Thomas." And then I had a ukulele and I was just like, "Anna, you done me and you better hold it." And I just sang a whole song.
He starts with, "Somewhere." All right. Well, stay tuned to the next video. You might see something.
We should really, you know, what should we want? What would we want to see out of the next instrument intro? Because saxophone's pretty good.
Yeah, electric guitar. Pretty ripping.
That's not funny though. I'm thinking I want to see a piccolo.
No, I have the
sitar,
answer.
A sitar, whatever.
Yeah.
The answer is a bass guitar, because then it's just like a Seinfeld.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, how about a talk box?
Talk box?
Yeah, that's funny. No, the bass line would be pretty funny. I like that.
Now, on MPO, we had Calvin Heimberg taking down another tournament. According to the PDGA, to the DGN, this was back-to-back Elite Series wins for the first time in his career. My question is that a true stat? Because he didn't play Copenhagen. So it's like back-to-back wins and starts. I don't know how that would be worded.
They didn't get specific enough for me to get angry about it.
Yeah.
And also, I just don't even think I'd care either way. It's back-to-back.
Back-to-back starts.
I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can reward it however you want. I'll give it to him.
He played two events in a row, and he won them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And both Elite Series wins for him.
First time in his career.
And the one in the middle had a much weaker field.
Yeah. Well, his first time in his career.
Oh, sorry, a slightly weaker field.
It's first time in his career that he has played back, like, two Elite Series in a row and won them.
It's great.
So
good for Calvin, dude. Calvin, another,
you blink and Calvin now has more wins than Gannon Burr on this season, one shy of Anthony Perella.
He did the old flip flop on us, and you know, and to be fair, AB and Gannon have both been really good still, and they're still around. So it's not like they're just faded off the scene. But all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, we could have. I'm telling you right now, and you can't count out Simon to grab wins this year.
Wait,
like,
he has even won.
More, that's what I mean, like grab more wins to, because like he's not a guy that you're gonna give an argument to because of his like average finishing place, but he will maybe grab 3-4 wins. I think we could have one of the craziest races for player of the year.
That's gonna be a great episode of debate night.
Oh my gosh. Calvin, Gannon, and AB right now, obviously, would be the three front runners. You have the guy with only one win, but the best average finishing place, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the guy with the most wins, and then the guy with the second the most wins, and the second best finishing place, I think. Or he might be behind AB because he took that.
He took the two bad ones is what's holding him back. But if by the time you get to the end of the year, it'll be very interesting to see.
I mean, because
it won't be shocking if Calvin picks up at least one or two more wins. I would expect AB and Gannon to pick up another one or two each. Like you were saying, Simon.
It's going to come down to which one of them can take a major.
I was going to say, that's going to be the interesting part. It's like, if Calvin, what if, so like, because Calvin
has to take a major.
Like, Calvin might win Worlds or USDGC, right? First major of his career. And like, he could be sitting on three wins with one being a major. And then AB could pick up a fourth Pro Tour. And now we're right back in the Isaac Robinson versus
Flip the script.
We're in the same exact argument as last year.
Now, Calvin, these last two wins have been really impressive because he is really finishing down the stretch. He's closing out tournaments. Now, this one's a little different. He only had to deal with Gavin Rathbun, a guy who's not really in that spot much, and he kind of smothered him. But still, got the job done. You know, guess what? What did he do last year when a guy who wasn't used to the spot kind of dueled him? Parker Welk. He lost. So, it was a good win, and he's got two of them in a row that are great wins now. If he can keep playing like this as we lead into, the European Open, Worlds, like that. This is the kind of wins that he needs to have to give him confidence going into the majors this year, because that's a whole nother skeleton in his closet that he has to deal with, is the major situation.
What was interesting to me here was, like, you saw him very clutch in certain moments, but then you still saw some of those, like, lapses in focus. Like, hole 16 in the final round, he had 25-footer for birdie. He had, I think it was a 25-footer, maybe a 30-footer, to go up three with two to play. Yeah. Where if he went par-par, he won.
He clanked it. Yeah.
And he, like, left the door open for Gavin, and then Gavin had, you know, advantage Gavin on the approach shot on 17, and he put it to, like, 10 feet. And then you have Calvin put it to, like, circle's edge or just outside the circle.
Yeah.
Well, and then he banged that putt.
That was interesting.
And that one slammed the door on Gavin's face.
Obviously, it seemed like Calvin was just trying to play it super wide and safe. I think he just overdid it. I thought he was going to lay up. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to run it. That putt was sick. Like, that putt was so crazy. Going to the water, like, circle's edge, I literally assumed it was a layup, looked down at my phone, and then looked up, and all of a sudden I saw it hitting the chains. I was like, oh my gosh, he ran it.
And he hit the chains so hard it almost bounced out.
It was like, yeah, he dead center just drilled it. It was insane. And that obviously won him the tournament. Like, at that point, you know, he laces his drive on 18 just to say it's over. It was very good. Very good play from Calvin. He handled the course well. He played well in the wind, and it seemed like he was putting the pressure on the entire final round, and Gavin was just trying to, you know, he would slip up, then gain a little bit of ground back, and he was just trying. It seemed like everybody else was, because, I mean, Ezra Aderholt was a similar situation, where it was like, from the get-go, he started out super slow, and then he got his birdies in the middle there and got back into it, and then he was just trying to push it. I mean, he ran that putt, I think it was 10, where he goes OB and then tries to run the par putt. Like, you get that when a guy like Calvin is playing well, everybody else in the field gets the feeling that if they don't make the best possible score they can on any given hole, it's over.
Yeah.
And so they start playing super aggressive. When there's water and wind in play, it forces mistakes, and this is what you get.
Yeah, because Calvin popped off a 10 under final round there to win by two. Gavin, I mean, it was an impressive final round still from Gavin. He was still able to shoot 7 under, you know, with the pressure. He came out the gates 2 under through 2.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like he folded. And this has actually been a really impressive start to the season for Gavin.
He's had a great season.
This is
he
now back-to-back podiums for him.
Yeah.
And now this was his fourth top 10 this year.
He's been incredible this
year. It'll be very interesting to see, like, will we see him mid-season get picked up by a manufacturer? Because he's still doing this unrepresented.
Yeah. I don't know. He had some quiet time, you know, in last season especially.
Well, he's coming back from that injury.
Yeah, he was injured and then we just didn't really know what we were going to get from him, because when he first burst onto the scene, he was, you know, looked at with such high regard, and he is playing really good disc golf. Just a solid all-around player. You know, there's nothing about him that's necessarily super flashy, but he just executes shots really well. When he's throwing the disc well, it seems like he can hit a lot of lines.
Well, yeah, he has a very complete game. His forehand's very solid, his backhand's very solid, and then this weekend his putt was on. Let me see what his putting stats ended up at here.
He definitely missed some the final round, but
he ended up, where is he at here? 93% C1X. He only missed 2 circle one putts all weekend. Somehow he wasn't in first. Zachary Nash came in first at 97%.
Some of those MPO guys, man, they just don't miss.
Like, holy cow, how many players is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 guys, 90% or better on the tournament C1X putting.
Yeah, and that's not...
That's crazy.
That's not how it has been, like, for years and years. Like, that's just... Putting is getting so insane. Make it harder.
Like, Paul Ulibarri missed 2 C1X putts all weekend, and he was 7th on this list. Missing just 2 C1X putts all weekend.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. That's just how
perfect,
good...
Though.
That's how good people... And Calvin won this event... 79% C1X.
Yeah. Only missing 5.
Yeah, he only missed 5.
To be fair, he wasn't in... What was his park percentage? Yeah, he led in park percentage.
Yeah, 24%. 24% of his holes were parked this weekend.
That helps, for sure.
Yeah, so 13 just drop in. Just
sitting under the basket.
But, yeah. The other player who rounded out the top 3 was Randon Lada. And an interesting stat with Randon here is this is his first ever Elite Series podium and only his second ever Elite Series top 10 in his career.
Yeah, Randon... We've met him before, and he's a really talented young guy. He just kind of pops up every once in a while, I feel like. He's definitely not somebody who's usually hovering around the leaderboard, but every once in a while, he just kind of pops off, because and that just shows you, like, when you see a player like that, and he had a 13 under that final round, could have had a 14 under, you know, those are guys that you got to keep your eye out for, because he's got the potential. He just has to figure out how to play well consistently. And, you know, for a lot of guys that can be putting, but he's a super talented thrower. He throws it really far.
Yeah. And he has a long career ahead of him. I just looked up his age. He's only 24. So he's not like, I know like Andrew Miranda, I think, was out there, who's still in high school.
Yeah.
Obviously Gannon Burr is still a teenager, but 24 is not old by any means. Nah, like, he's golf, still young, ancient, but in disc golf, it is tough when like the young talent's literally 16 and you're like a 24-year-old and like, dang.
The ceiling, well, it's funny is, you know, Gannon and some of these other young guys are kind of lowering and lowering that bar. Because, like, the tour, for a while, like, the disc golf tour was built up of teenagers, and then they all grew up kind of together, and that kind of remained the tour.
Yeah.
But now, I feel like with the boom in disc golf we've seen, there is going to be just... from now and moving forward, we're going to start seeing younger and younger and younger players. Like, I would bet in the next 5 years, we see like a 15 or 16 year old like podium at a pro tour. Like, I think that era is coming where you have,
what was what's his name? Gannon's like best finish when he was like 16.
Was that the year he played well, like Waco in Texas? Was he 16 that year? Well, I said he was the first one to do it, but I think it's become more.
He was
common.
Like the youngest ever 1,000 rated. Something like that.
I think we're gonna start seeing like way more of the just like young like high school kids.
Yeah.
Competing, because there's just a lot that are super talented, and it's a different thing playing on the pro tour and the pressure that comes with it. But the larger the crop we have, that'll start to mix in.
Well, another young guy that had a great weekend out here was Sullivan Tipton. It looks like he's only 22, might be 23, somewhere in there.
Sick forehand.
And this is his first ever Elite Series top 10 finish, with a fourth place finish here. That actually surprised me, because I've heard his name before. I know he had that like ace on hole 7 at USDGC, so I don't know if that's the only reason I know his name.
Well, last year he had some hype, and he's kind of part of that DGA Young Guns team that they went out and bought like anybody that seemed like a prospect.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know like what his finishes were last year, but I know he had some hype around
him. He had
him.
Some like in the top 25. He had several in the top 25. He came in 12th at USDGC.
Yeah,
What's crazy about this year is his finishes this year is 112th at Chess, 112th at Waco, 95th at Jonesboro, 85th at Champions Cup, and then 4th at OTB Open.
Hasn't been a great season. He has a really good forehand. I don't know. I don't know if he like is always forehand prominent. I mean, even his PDGA pictures.
He was throwing forehand. Yeah.
He loves that chop over forehand. So that isn't always like. I mean, I don't see that really working a ton in the woods at Champions Cup. But yeah, he's talented. Throws
now,
it pretty far.
Another storyline here: Gannon Burr messed up on 18 to end up finishing for the first time this year outside of the top 10.
I know he hates that.
He took a bogey on 18. Had he made par, it looks like he would have been in a tie for 10th, and he had a putt for par. He just missed it. So first time this season outside the top 10. Realistically, that was inevitable.
Shame
like it
you.
Was eventually going to happen, but yeah. I mean, it's May 20th. He almost made it to June.
He's like halfway through the season.
He's still finishing 13th.
Yeah.
So now the stat just changes. He hasn't finished outside the top 15.
Yeah.
Anthony Barella was right behind him, one stroke off in 18th, so it's not like he went anywhere.
Yeah, he just had an awful first
round. But yeah, so both those guys still hanging around, still fine, but Gannon Burr has now finished outside the top 10. The final player I really wanted to bring up on this leaderboard was, for in my opinion, this weekend was a win for Eagle McMahon. He came
certainly.
In 13th. He went 4 under round 1 and then back-to-back 7 unders in round 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Overall just played solid. What was his
finding his stride.
Yeah, he overall just played solid. He was 87% C1X. Oh, this is just round 3. Let me actually go all rounds here to see kind of what Eagle's game was looking like out there. Because he was on coverage round 1, but after that, you didn't really see too much of him.
No, I wish I could have seen more of him.
He hit 82% fairways, 91% C1X putting, 20% circle 2 putting, 10 strokes gained tee to green, almost 4 strokes gained C1X, and then he threw OB 7 times, which is really kind of what held him back there a little bit. But this was a much more encouraging finish than Champions Cup was. And, you know, now I think, now that we've seen that, now that he's seen that, you can really start to expect, okay, is he going to get himself in contention at Portland, Beaver State,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Two events in Oregon that he has a really good chance at.
Yeah, so impressive overall performance from him there. Now, with the standings, an interesting thing here is this 13th place finish for Gannon Burr officially puts him ahead of Anthony Barella in the overall Disc Golf Pro Tour points. He now leads at 672.08, whereas Anthony Barella is at 669.88. They're effectively tied. But we're headed into a DGPT Plus event at Portland that both of them have a really solid chance at here. So it'll be interesting to see if one of them is able to, you know, separate themselves a little bit more, because they're pretty clear of the field. Next and third, you have Niklas Anttila at 586 points. So that's, what, 83 points shy of AB. And then Calvin, this back-to-back wins for him now puts him into fourth place.
Yeah, well, which, Calvin is just out of luck because he missed that event with the injury. You know, that would have certainly helped his points total.
Well, because
Hey,
I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
70.
He had the 34th at Chess and the 34th at MCO, and he's still able to be in fourth, because also a big thing for him was the fifth place at Champions Cup earned him 128 points.
Winning
there,
the points is going to be so difficult. Oh, and we got to talk about the format change.
Oh, great point.
Probably a good time to talk about it while we're looking at the
standings. Let's just bring that up. So they recently announced this. Let's see if I can actually find this. Oh, wow, look how easily I found that.
Wow.
That was encouraging. The Disc Golf Pro Tour, you know, while we're talking about points, they had a big announcement to an update to the Tour Championship format in 2024 playoff registration schedule. The playoff registration schedule, I don't think that really matters. The encouraging thing here is the Tour Championship format. So, here we go. The DGPT Championship will maintain the same basic format as in 2023, with four rounds of stroke play and competitors being awarded a starting stroke advantage based on DGPT World standings, which is the normal DGPT standings. However, the field will not be cut after the first two rounds, and scores will not reset at any point during the competition. This means that competitors will maintain their starting stroke advantage for the duration of the competition, and all players will compete all four rounds.
Basically, yeah. Wow. Basically what
it's a FedEx Cup
we
now.
And everybody said last year was, why would you reset the scores? Just give them the head start and then keep it for four rounds and look at that. The Pro Tour, you know, credit where credit is due. It always takes them usually two steps to get to the right place, but they always do correct themselves.
Well, it seems almost the way this is the statement from Jeff Springs. He says the integration of starting strokes into the DGPT Championship was a success in 2023, was successful in its 2023 debut and was well received by its competitors. Jeff, you should really learn how to talk, man.
Come on, Jeff, dude. Why'd you stumble like that?
I messed up the second half of that, too. Anyways, the second part of this is an important thing. So progression of this concept and its expansion into a four-round format is the next step in our cultivating of a compelling tour championship for spectators both on-site and online, while simultaneously honoring the tremendous season-long consistency and elite-level play by the best DGPT athletes of the year.
I swear Jeff, like, just gets his statements from AI. Like, he just ChatGPT, this is what I need to make a statement about, because they're all just, like, perfectly, I mean, he's like a commissioner. This is what they do, but they're just like perfectly political. Just like, don't lean any certain way. They're
the
all
way
just,
that was
and
worded.
That's his job.
The way that was worded, it almost feels like this was their hopeful plan, but they didn't want to do it all at once. And so, like last year, they did it like, hey, let's just see. But like, in case you don't like it, the last two rounds, everything's gonna reset.
They are usually pretty tentative like that. And
so, but I think this is a great change, because what it should do is it gives the person who's leading the points at the end of the year the statistical best chance of winning, but it doesn't just hand them the title.
Yeah.
So what it does now is it, no offense to Nathan Queen, but it removes the chance of some random player who hasn't been hot all season getting hot one weekend and then out of nowhere they're the tour champion. And
it doesn't remove the chance.
Well, it greatly reduces it.
Yeah, it's significant.
Someone's going to have to, over four rounds, beat a Calvin Heimberger AB by 10 strokes. Well, not even just one of them, because it's probably going to be like 10, 9, 8. It's probably going to be like 10, 8, 6, whatever. So, like, if you're at the bottom and you have zero strokes, you're going to have to beat everyone that's beat you all year by, like,
20
strokes.
The Tour Championship has become, and this is what it should be, it's become, if you're one of the top few guys, maybe 5, 6 competitors, MPO or FPO, you are trying to win the title. If you are low down, you are trying to get the most cash you can. And that's how the event should work.
Well, it's also good because like it's a huge bonus.
Yeah.
Like we're talking like $50,000 bonus.
And finishing at the top in points this year is going to be so hard.
And so like if you do that, then like you deserve the best shot at winning the $50,000.
Yeah.
Like you've played the best all season. You deserve the best shot at it. But it's also not just handing it to him.
I don't know how many strokes they're going to have to give Rick, man.
Because like it's also not just handing it to him. It's like you still have to go out and earn it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you still have guys breathing down your neck.
You might need 10 strokes against Rick in the tour championship. He sees that money. If they put a guitar on the line, then you might need 10 strokes against Simon.
Yeah. Guitar plus a check. Who knows what's going to happen? But no, I'm very excited for that change. I think that's a great, great change. Now let's get into the Manufacturers Cup here. This is a very interesting week here. So Innova leads the cup points for the second consecutive week and had four players in the top 10. So they were able to earn 44 points this week. Open bag player Gavin Rathbun finished second, and currently he would rank as the fifth manufacturer on his own.
Give Gavin points. His own manufacturer.
Well, he's not a manufacturer.
He commented
last week and was like, come on, give me my points. Like, that's ridiculous.
But you should get his points.
Gavin, if you start making your own discs, I'll put you on there.
This is the manufacturer's cup.
Exactly. This isn't the Pro Tour standings.
Just come up with a fake manufacturer name and like get a paper plate and write a name on it, and that'll be counted as
Yeah, but just so you're aware, you'd be fifth. Gavin Rathbun by himself would be ahead of Prodigy, MVP, and DGA on the season.
That's crazy.
Which is electric. So Prodigy,
James
MVP.
James Conrad, where you at?
Prodigy, MVP, or DGA. Here's what we'll do. This will be a little incentive to the manufacturers, because I know people care about this.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever he gets signed to will retroactively inherit his points.
Holy cow, dude. That's huge.
So if Prodigy, if you sign him, you'll earn the 47 points, which right now would put you in fourth place.
And they really care about that.
Cow.
Yeah, well, they should.
They should.
DGA, if you earned it, you would jump up into, I think, also fourth place. So,
where do you think Gavin Rathbun would fit? Like, you can't pick Dynamic because he's
not
there.
Dynamic again. I like him at DGA. Don't mind that. I also don't mind it at Prodigy.
Yeah, low-key Prodigy makes sense to me.
Yeah. Maybe, Sullivan Tipton's...
Maybe West Side, little 1-2 punch?
Could be. Sullivan Tipton's fourth place finish propelled DGA up from 10th into 7th, passing West Side, Mint, and Castablast. So the current standings now...
Let's go DGA.
Discraft still has a pretty commanding lead at 264 points. Discmania is in second at 218 points. Then you have Innova at 3rd, Dynamic Disc at 4th, Prodigy at 5th, MVP at 6th, DGA at 7th, West Side at 8th, Castablast in 9th, and Mint Discs, courtesy of, I believe it was Mason Ford early in the season.
Let's go, Big Mace.
And 10th place there. So that's the Manufacturer Cup update. Now, while we're still talking about the OTB Open... We need to talk about this, the Champions Cup move. So, this move was announced by the PDGA that the Champions Cup will be moving to California, to where we just watched the OTB Open happen. Now, before we talk about this, I want to preface it before we start getting hate from California people. Nothing wrong with the OTB Open course. Course played well. Tournament was fun. You know, I like the finishing stretch.
I think there's
stretch.
One thing wrong with the OTB Open course.
Okay, but I'm saying overall, like, there was a good tournament.
Yeah, I was going to say my only complaint, and this is not... My only complaint with OTB Open course, and this is with some golf courses in general, is I think it is... I'm finding it increasingly difficult to understand where golfers' shots are.
That is true.
When they land.
Yeah, but that's golf course.
But I like the way that they play.
They definitely... It definitely...
Well, let me tell you what they should do.
Okay, yeah.
I have an idea, because I... Once again, taking this from golf... And what they've been doing a lot in golf is they show the you know, behind the tee, golfers getting ready to hit, and you see a little arrow out in the middle of the fairway and says target. I think that would be huge for disc golf. Just like give me an idea.
Well, I think the problem though with
you just have to go through every hole and just have.
Well, but on like this course for instance had a lot of really wide fairways and players were aiming in multiple different places.
That is true.
So like,
but I just like need a reference.
Yeah,
because it's you watch.
No, there was a few holes where one in particular on FPI, I forget what it was, but Owen and Ella both went forehand and Holland went backhand and like hit this tree that was in the middle of the fairway. And when they threw it, the way the camera was lined up, they threw it like off to the right. And I thought that Owen and like when I think it was Ella actually went first. She ripped over this forehand and it looked shanked. It looked like she released it so early.
It's very tough.
And then
to
it
context.
Cut and it skipped and she was like 10 feet. I was like, yeah.
Oh my god!
I was like, how did that just get there? And then Tone did the same thing, and I was like, that's also shanked. And then it was also great. I was like, where is this basket? I was like so confused because when it cut, you just lost all reference.
How about that then? Arrow at least in the direction of the basket.
Yeah, basket here. That would be helpful.
Because like I just need some context. But yes, anyways. Course, I like the way the course plays. Front nine's but the back nine's pretty good. And also, nothing wrong with the state of California either. This has nothing to do with the state of California.
So the PDGA came out and says,
hole 17 rocks.
As the work continues on the restoration of the IDGC in Appling, Georgia, the PDGA has determined that the 2025 Champions Cup will not be contested at the site of its inaugural edition of the event. For 2025, the fourth running of the PDGA Major will have a temporary home and will still hold its spot as a spring major on the schedule at Swenson Park Disc Golf Course in Stockton, California. It'll run from Thursday, May 1st through Sunday, May 4th. It's home to the elite track of the OTB Open. Doug Bierkis said, it's critically important that when Champions Cup returns to IDGC that it's played on a course that is truly elite, from challenging fairways to spectator accommodations. The staff at the PDGA and IDGC take tremendous pride in this event. Decision to relocate the event in 2025 was not taken lightly. So basically, IDGC is not ready yet. Hopefully, it'll eventually come back. Here's the problem. It has established its identity as the tough wooded major, and now it's going to a golf course.
Yeah, that is,
which is
yeah.
the opposite.
It's a tough one because, yeah, the Champions Cup, obviously with a new major, the toughest thing you have against you is you have no history, you have no identity. Everybody's kind of like, and the Champions Cup's the idea was like, okay, you have to like, I don't even completely understand. Like, I get that you get automatic spots if you like win stuff, but it's everybody that should be there is still there every year. So it's not even like it feels like USDGC or anything where qualifying seems that difficult.
Yeah.
They had, you know, they really doubled down on this when they couldn't go to IDGC and they went to the hardest woods course in the world.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, we were all like, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, if you remember, the first move they attempted was from W.R. Jackson to Toboggan. And it was met with great resistance.
Everyone was like, why?
Everyone was like,
that?
Why are you doing that? Like, let's just keep it in one spot. And they said, you know what? We're wrong. We're going to bring it back. W.R. Jackson. Everyone's like, yay. Year two happens. W.R. Jackson, sick. The stupid Beatles. I hate the Beatles.
Yeah, we hate the Beatles.
Take out the course of W.R. Jackson. And there you go. Okay, let's move it to Northwood. Okay.
That makes sense.
It seems that when they made that move, they were just trying to find a place to host a major, but the communication to the public and how the public perception and player perception was like, this is the tough wooded major. That is its identity. Okay, we're good with that.
Which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's why it's perfect too, is like, it would be one thing if we already had one, we'd be like, okay, it's fine if it's not going to be that. But like, there isn't, you know, Worlds typically tries to give you a mix. You're going to get that again this year, you know, some wooded golf, some open golf. European Open, I would say also a little bit of a mix, but not certainly not super tight woods. And then USDGC, definitely not super tight woods. So this made sense, and like it felt like they doubled down on it, and this is like the most stark polar opposite move they could make, basically. And I think, I don't know if you had it written down, but I think Drew Gibson mentioned something about bids.
I didn't write it down because it was a stupid take. Because I don't think there were bids for this move.
Yeah, I don't know that was involved. But even if that is the case, even if it was just like, well, nobody else wanted to host, it's like, you are the number one. These exist at public parks most of the time, so sometimes there's not even cost associated. And B, you're the PDGA, and this is your major. Like, just make it happen. Like, you should have a committee that can just put on an event. It's ridiculous having to depend on other people to run your events for you. What are you guys doing?
Well, that's what's crazy to me is, like, especially Champions Cup, right? Because USDGC, there's a really solid team that runs that event. Okay. European Open, same thing. Really solid team that runs that event. But Worlds, we have seen, it depends a lot on the course they go to and the community around it, how that event is ran. In Champions Cup, with it being at home at IDGC, the PDGA ran it, they took pride in it, seemed to be a really well-run event. Well, then they go to Northwood, and it might as well have been ran by the PDGA because you have Nate Heinold and the Ledgestone team running it there. But then, like, the excuse of, like, well, we need someone to run it, it's like, have you not looked inward? Like, do you not have a staff that you can... Like, that's what's confusing to me is... Maybe it's time we just rethink the major process if that's the reason that we're choosing courses. Just like whoever's most equipped to run it is who gets it.
Like, you think?
Like the PDGA, Here's an idea. This is my new idea. I'm officially proposing this. I've got the perfect idea.
Should we volunteer for
No,
a
this
major?
Is my idea. I've got this. No one needs to volunteer. People can get paid. Basically, what they need to do is axe and completely remove the magazine budget. And let's put the magazine budget into the Champions Cup budget and to pay a person, someone to run the event. We already have the money because right now, basically, everyone's just using the PDJ magazines as fire starters for whatever bonfire and stuff. Name one article in the PDJ magazine.
I have one in my closet somewhere.
I don't get it anymore because I haven't renewed in like a year and a
half.
Yeah,
I have stacks on stacks. I get 12 every year.
Stacks on stacks.
You know, or maybe everyone. Or here's another idea. Aren't there certain states where you can like recycle and get money back?
Well, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a separate idea. Probably everyone listening who's PDJ members, let's send all of our PDJ magazines we have collected.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back to the PDGA.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They can recycle those, good for the environment, and they'll get like a nickel or whatever back per magazine. Then they can use that money for the budget so that they can afford to run their own major instead of relying on local communities.
Let's play a game called We Go Back and Forth and Name Courses.
I
kind of
like that idea.
Let's play a game called We Go Back and Forth and Name Courses that'd be better for this major without even having to think about it and see how long we can go.
Okay.
All right.
Who starts? Me?
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Peaks View Park.
Okay.
Okay. New London.
Idlewild.
You guys just go back and forth.
Nevin Park.
Maple Hill.
R.L. Smith.
I mean, there's like, what, five?
Hornet's Nest.
Four or five?
Hornet's Nest.
All right, that'd be a
great
one.
That'd be a great one.
Northwood again.
Yeah.
That'd be better still.
Did you say Idlewild already?
Beaver State would probably be better. They could probably find a layout in there that'd work. Milo.
Really just a lot of things.
Iron Hill.
There's so many. Yeah, that's a great one. Great one,
you.
Huh? Yeah.
Brewster Ridge, whichever one's the wooded one in Vermont.
Yeah, Fox Run or the other one. What's the course they played in?
Ooh, Camp Canaan. South Carolina, that's a really good wooded course. Diavolo.
Yeah.
That could do
not
it.
Not hard enough.
North Cove.
Put some teeth on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's
also not hard enough.
This golf course.
Also not wooded.
This is really like...
Pretty much any North Carolina course could do it.
This is really the best time for us to go ahead and release our I Hate the Beatles merch.
I hate the Beatles.
Yeah, we bring it back.
The Beatles
I think that shirt might still be on the site.
I'm just next year we're going to watch this major, and once again we're going to have to be like... Okay.
Well, this is the
major.
This
like,
is the good news.
They care about it, but what is the thing?
They went back on their idea before. It seems sometimes that the PDGA, like, this is their vetting process.
Yeah.
They just, like, make an announcement.
Just
like,
about.
Let's see what happens.
Well,
let's see what people think.
The pros just handed
Well, that's
to
what
them.
I'm saying. It's not just us. This move was basically met with zero people excited.
Yeah, before you guys get all... Just relax. Listen to your your friends, the pros
I will say,
here.
There was a handful of California residents who were happy to get this, which makes sense.
Well, sure.
Like, if I lived in California and I'm getting a major for the first time
that
in, like, 10
sense.
Years, yeah, I'm going to be stoked, too.
They should just have it at New London.
But here's just a... I just went...
But
this
also,
took
this
me, like, 5 minutes.
NorCal, isn't it? This is even, like, Southern Cal.
Stockton, California. I don't know where it's at. This took me like 5 minutes to pull together these pros' opinions from social media. Gavin Babcock said, love the property, but this is highly disappointing. Champions Cup is in the woods. Ezra Robinson.
And he's not even a wooded player.
Yeah. Ezra Robinson said, as long as we get to use carts and it has more trees and it's in Georgia at IDGC or Northwood, I'm down with this change. Holly Finley said, will they be planting more trees? Sullivan Tipton said, please change this PDGA. Isaac Robinson said, bummer. Mason Ford said, heartbreaking. Evan Scott said,
oh my gosh.
Evan Scott said, might be the most I've ever wished Instagram had a dislike button. Zach Melton said, thumbs down emoji. Schwebby, which I believe he has the most wins in PDGA history, said, WTF, boo. That's just a few of them I pulled together.
A lot of woods guys in there.
Now,
but...
here's a few takeaways that I have from this one.
Okay.
Number one.
Three keys to victory from Hunter.
This is my two keys to victory presented by FoundationDisc.com, your premium disc golf store. A few takeaways here. One, I don't know if the PDGA asks players for insight before making decisions.
They don't.
Or even clued them in before it was released, because it seemed like all these players were just like, what?
No, when they probably asked the ones from California, and they're like, yeah, sounds great.
Secondly, it apparently only takes 3 years to form tradition in disc golf, so DGPT events should be pretty excited because they can take notes on how quickly they can establish an identity if they just stick to one.
It's true.
Like, we only had 3 years of Champions Cup, and it caused this much outrage when we went away from the identity.
True
so,
point.
It just takes 3 years of
We're
to
a young
build your
sport,
history.
Man. Everything works in dog years.
So if you just commit to an identity, 3 years from now, you can have it. So I'm thinking about for all of you pro tour events.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Like if you just don't redesign the course every year, you can have an identity around it. So
you too can prevent identity crisis. Yeah.
just stop redesigning your courses and you can have it. Something to think about.
Something about.
Before we get into Trevor's trivia. Yeah, just food for thought. Before we get into Trevor's trivia, I want to let you all know about our subscription boxes. When people hear mystery boxes or subscription boxes in disc golf and they hear they're getting three random discs, instantly red flags go up and they think, oh, this is Foundation's way of dumping their old inventory. They must just have discs sitting on the shelf, collecting dust, whatever. No. What we do is we curate each and every disc in these boxes specifically for this box. We're calling manufacturers and placing orders specifically to fit the theme of each month's box that we're doing. For instance, this month has two custom stamps, plus the swag item for this month is a Foundation Nation tag, so you can get your tag and all of your buddies or whoever. We're actually going to try to have a database on, I think we're going to use Disc Golf Scene, we're going to have a database where you can actually see other people in your state that have this tag and you can go play them for
it. Heck yeah.
In addition to getting three premium discs, two of them custom stamp, and one of them we actually worked with Millennium on getting a retro stamp on it. So
heck yeah.
Not all of them have that stamp, but some of them do. Very, very sick. And next month, we're actually going, this is our first time ever where the box is going to be like a full-on experience where the swag item interacts with the discs themselves. So that's super exciting. But each month, you get three premium discs plus a swag item for just $45 shipped to your door. I did the math on this month.
This is a steal, dude.
I did the math on this month's
what
box.
What the heck?
And I believe it came in at like $65 to $68 in value, depending on how much you would value a custom stamp disc. It's a pretty great value every month, in my opinion. And like I said, we aren't dumping old inventory. We are calling manufacturers and placing specific orders months in advance to get these discs in, to curate them to fit the theme for you. So,
there's
if
a lot
that
of
sounds interesting to you,
put into
yeah,
it.
If that
next,
sounds interesting
next
to you.
Next month's box is so fire, I can't even explain it. It's so fire.
If that sounds interesting to you, head over to foundationdisc.com. On the homepage, you'll see the sign-up button for the monthly subscription box, and you can read more, learn more over there. And like I said, three premium discs plus a swag item each and every month for $45, or if you subscribe for a whole year at a time, you can actually save some money that way as well. So check that out. But time for the fan-favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia.
All right.
Trevor's Trivia.
That was nice.
Welcome to this game.
We're going to be playing a little
bit. That was one of those situations where I was singing, but I didn't realize it till I was done.
We haven't played this game in a while.
Okay.
It's called How Old Is That Disc Golfer?
I'm always so bad at this. I think last time I said Greg Barsby was like 78. Not that much.
So, the way this game works is, I have the ages of players that are either this age now or they're turning this age this year.
Okay.
So I'm going to go down the list. You're going to guess. You can go over whatever. It's just who can be the closest. It's going to be on aggregate, so your score will follow you.
Oh, okay. We're having an aggregate playoff right
now? Oh, yeah. Oh,
Someone better warn Cole Rodolin.
Our first.
Nice, Hunter.
We'll rotate who goes first. So, Hunter, you'll go first on this one.
Okay.
So, our first golfer is Cole Rodolin.
Gosh,
how old is Cole Rodolin?
I think he's
either now or turning this year.
I think
year.
He's 23.
23, okay.
Okay,
Big
I
John?
Was my. I'm gonna go 25.
Oh my gosh, he is only 20.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Really? Just an okay? You guys are way off. That stunk.
I was wrong. I was three years off.
No, it was trash.
20 to 23 is a blur.
That's trash, dude.
I can't.
He grew 3 years waiting for the FBO playoff.
Nice, son. Another one.
Nice. Next, we have Chris Dickerson. And this will be Connor first.
I'm going to embarrass myself. I think I'm going to say I'm going to embarrass myself here. I'm going to go.
A lot of these are mysteries.
27.
I think he's 28. I think he's a little older than me.
He's 31.
Okay. Ooh. He's a lot older than me.
Wow. I always like this game because, like, I have no idea what I would guess. I can see them in front of me. Okay. Three more for Hunter. Four more for Connor.
Hey, Chris, you don't look a day over
next,
27.
Next, we've got Ella Hansen. Hunter, you're first.
24. 21.
Nice, hon. I'm going to go. Well, I want to go like 23, but I don't want to stick that close to Hunt. I feel like that's cheap, but I'm gonna. It's 23.
28.
Oh, get retcon. Get retcon.
That one really surprised me. I didn't realize she was that old.
Same. I think Hunter's been closer on every single one of them.
Yep. Now we have Cat Merch. Connor, how old is Cat Merch?
Cat Merch is 23. I think she's not 23, is she? I don't know.
Stop
dude.
Second just guessing.
I'm gonna say 20. I'm gonna say 23. Again.
I think she's 19 because I think there's a lot of 19? Controversy when Nico was dating her.
Oh, true. Just now, she's 23.
Oh,
hey.
Boom. Why was there so much controversy around Nico when he was dating her like last year or 2 years ago?
I think there's just controversy around him.
She might be 20 because she turns 23 this year.
But that would have been 3 years Nico. Ago.
So she might be 20.
How old is Nico? He's low 30s.
Maybe she would. Maybe she hadn't turned 20 yet that year. Maybe she.
So this was 5 years ago.
Well, no, because she turns 23 this year. She might not be 23 yet.
I think there was just
so
a
it was
lot
3 years
of,
ago. She was 19. Potentially.
I think there's just a lot of controversy around it because people think Nico's sketchy.
Was it that long
sorry,
ago?
Sorry, people know Nico's sketchy.
I think
sketchy.
It was quite a long time ago.
Dang.
Anyways. All right, tie ball game.
I thought it was last year. I
Hunter,
thought she must have been 18.
How old is Henna Blomroos?
Smells like soup in here.
Oh, heck yeah. Campbell's
25.
Chonky, dude. Okay, 25?
You're incorrect.
Okay.
She is 24.
Correct. 24.
Gotcha.
Let's
hun.
Go. Okay, we got three more.
That was going to be my guess before you said anything.
Connor, how old is Paige Pierce?
Paige Pierce, she is 32.
Okay.
I think she's 30.
That's your guess?
Yeah.
30? She's 33.
Dang.
Dude, hun, you're getting wrecked right now.
I'm locked in the golden era.
Connor is up
Let
by
me go
three
first on the rest of
with
them.
Two I'm to go. Kidding. Okay, Hunter, how old is Aaron Gossage?
23.
The Goose Man.
23, okay.
Super confident. Gossage.
He's super confident, is
not
what he says.
At all.
I think that Aaron Gossage is 20. I'm not meaning to like go one number next to you, but like I don't think he's 25.
You can't say that, but so many times. Connor.
Okay, he's 24.
He is 27.
Dang, Hunter, you were wrong.
All right, we have one more. Connor is up by four, but this is a tough one. Sarah Hokum. Connor, how old is Sarah Hokum?
Sarah Hokum is. Okay, this one is tough to me because I could see this going one of two ways, higher or lower. That's
yeah,
how this
oh
game
my
works.
Gosh.
I think that Sarah Hokum is 33.
Okay.
How much went down by Con?
Four.
So I'll say 38.
She's 42.
All right.
Wow.
That's a get retcon.
That is
I got
retcon.
Oh.
Ow. He just ate a W. Dang, Connor, dude, you almost had it.
Dang, Connor,
hey,
you suck at guessing ages, can I just say?
Hey, I brought it back a little bit for a little bit there, and that was fun because I thought I was going to lose miserably.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, Kristen Tatar, first off.
How old is she?
32. I think she
wrong.
30. I think she turns 33.
But
okay, I don't know.
She is the first ever 1,000-rated FPO player. She has made history. It's finally happened. You know, what's big here is obviously...
Good job.
This is a huge accomplishment in general, but a lot of times when something seems impossible and then someone does it, it then becomes more possible for people following them. Like, for a long time, people thought, like, a four-minute mile was physically not possible, and then when one person did it, like, four people did it right after.
Dang.
So, not saying that's about to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen here,
but
Big Hunt.
It does, like, it. She's paving a path that hasn't been paved before, which is always huge for a sport, because you watch something happen, and now there are people at home that have seen it's possible, which helps them believe it's possible, so inspiring a younger generation.
Yeah.
So
that was very inspiring,
awesome.
Big Hunt.
She's blazing a trail here. You know, I think this farther adds to her accolades of the GOAT.
Yeah, it definitely. That's a big one, right?
It'll just be the
1,000 rated.
The tough part will just be those of us who have watched Kristen Tatar play. I think a lot of us in this era are pretty confident she's the greatest FPO player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs some more accolades for that that to hold up. You know, 10 years from now. Because if you're going to look back, you're going to see the Juliana Corvers, the Paige Pierces, and they're just crazy major numbers and stuff. Like, Paige is still one away from all-time majors.
You
got to
stop losing these majors, dog.
I know there's a flaw in this thought, but technically, being the highest rated of all time would possibly make you the greatest of all time.
If ratings were accurate.
Yeah. See, the flaw in that thought is ratings, unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, shortly after this... Kristen, it's not funny, Trevor.
No, it's just like the way that you transition into that.
Well, it's just like she had the highest of high, 1,000 rated, and then this morning I woke up to this post from Kristen, and she says, with a heavy heart, I must share unfortunate news. I've suffered an injury that will keep me away from the disc golf course for at least 4 weeks.
Wait, quick. If you haven't seen this yet, before we read it, just guess in your head, like, what do you think the injury is?
Type in the comments.
How do you think it happened? You probably won't guess it.
I'd love to hear the guesses.
Okay, I've given time to comment. In a freak accident amidst our home renovation, I stumbled among scattered items, resulting in a broken rib. After consulting with some of wonderful doctors, I've decided to prioritize my recovery, leading to my withdrawal from Portland Open and Beaver State Fling. Though I eagerly anticipated the U.S. trip, I understand that life throws unexpected challenges. I'll use this time to heal and return stronger. I'll likely resume play at the Crokole Open starting July 12th. Thank you all for your unwavering support and understanding.
Major bummer.
So she should be back for the Crokole Open, which I believe is before, I believe that's the start of like the European swing with the European Open and stuff. So, you know.
But still, that's.
It sucks. Because now we're going to miss Portland Open, Beaver State. It looks like we'll also miss her. I don't know if she was planning to play these, but from what she just said in her thing, these are the Pro Tour events that we're missing her in. Portland Open, Beaver State, Turku Open, Preserve Championship, Swedish Open, Des Moines Challenge, and we'll see her back at the Crokole Open.
That is so many events.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, this
US
sucks.
U.S. stateside, Portland, Beaver State, Preserve, and Des Moines, and then she'll be back at the Crokole Open.
That's so gut-wrenching.
July 12th, which is the week before the European Open. So she'll go Crokole Open, European Disc Golf Festival, and then we're back for Ledgestone and that swing.
That's such a bummer, man. We're going to miss another huge stretch without the best player by far.
Who's going to rise to the top now?
Well, it's going to make FPO continue just to get more and more interesting because, like, right now, Evelina Solomon's in the lead at 878 points. Owen Scoggins is in second at 800, Missy Gannon at 766, and now Holland Handley has jumped Kristen at 760. So Kristen's fifth in the world right now, point standing wise. With her missing until the Crokole Open, obviously you can only take your 14 finishes. She's already locked in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 finishes. So after Crokole, there is plenty of disc golf to play for her to still climb up the top.
And multiple majors.
Yeah, but it is. Some people are going to be able to lock in wins with her not in the field. And, you know, those are points that she just can't get back. So, be very interesting to see, but hopefully we wish her a speedy recovery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hopefully it ends up being faster than that, but
yeah,
not the end of the world. She'll be back for all the rest of the majors this season.
I don't know, it feels the end of my world.
It does suck, but
no Kristen and FPO for that long. That's a bummer.
It is what it is. All right, we now need to tackle our top 10. We have AB at 1, Gannon at 2, Niklas at 3, Ricky at 4, Calvin Heimberg at 5, Dickerson at 6, Kyle Klein at 7, Ezra Robinson at 8, Andrew Presnell at 9, and Simon Lazat at 10.
So
Calvin's got to move up.
Simon, well, let's start at the bottom because this is easy. Simon, we only put him there knowing we were going to drop him because he was about to be gone. We gave him an honorary spot, so he's gone. You can just exit him out.
Okay.
Presnell, also going to be gone.
What did Presnell do?
I don't even know if he was there.
So can he be gone
if he wasn't there? Yeah, maybe he shouldn't be gone then. I don't know. Maybe he's still riding the hot streak.
Andrew Presnell did not play. He went first, fifth, and then he didn't play OTB Open. So I think we can move him to 10.
You can have one more week in the limelight, maybe.
Maybe.
Who are we just talking about that's been dirty this year?
Gavin Rathbun.
Yeah, Rathbun. That's who we need to check out.
So I think let's go Statmando, Rathbun versus Presnell. Just make sure Rathbun can get ahead of him.
Well, probably can't if you go on their last two events.
Well, we're not going to go just on the last two, Trev. Come on.
But yeah, if you go any further.
If you go any further than that,
anybody beats Presnell.
Rathbone's 5-2 against the Prez.
Yeah, dog.
So I think we're good to put.
Well, let's put him there, and then let's look around and make sure we can just compare
He has back-to-back podiums.
Yeah, he is red hot right now.
So he's pretty hot right now. It also looks pretty hot right now.
Yeah, he looks pretty well. The shirt, final day,
that's true.
Terrible.
I don't like that eagle. Well, actually, his other shirt, the second day, with the big eagle on it.
I don't
like that one either.
No, I don't. Yeah, no.
So that is true.
Sorry, Gavin. Just not a,
minus points for
nothing against you. Just
way too loud.
Don't like it. Don't like
it. Too loud. Not my style.
Don't like it.
So players that are in the top 10 that are missing from ours is, it looks like Matty O.
Well, yeah, because he had some stinkers.
He had some really bad finishes.
He had some massive stinkers.
And I don't even think he played this weekend. No, he did. What did he come in this weekend? 26th.
Yeah, Matty O had some stinkers.
That's a fraud spot in the top 10 right there.
Let's give it to Random Lotta. This honestly might be the right 10.
Dickerson is also, we have him at 6. So, okay, I feel good about our 10. Ezra Robinson is in 6th in theirs, and he's in 8th in ours. Calvin Heinberg has to move up.
Yeah, I
think Calvin jumps Ricky and Niklas.
Realistically, if I were to just a gut feeling it, I'd put Calvin at the top right now.
Because you want Calvin and because one? I mean, back to back wins.
I'd say he's won back to back events. Right now, he is the most feared player on tour. And Calvin,
would you say he's the guy to beat?
Yes.
There you go.
See, it's that easy. You just gotta win. You just gotta win. So now you're the guy to beat.
Calvin's jumped to one. Do you like AB Gannon or should it flip to Gannon AB?
I think Gannon AB because I think Gannon's been a little more of a threat.
I would agree. Has a higher finishing place, and he did only by one spot, but did beat him. So we have Calvin, Gannon, AB, Niklas 4, which Niklas on the Pro Tour standings is 3rd. He came in 26th this past weekend. Ricky Wysocki is the next one down. Rick came in 6th place, so he played a little more and slightly better. So Rick has went 3rd. Ricky's recency, okay, has been 3rd at MCO, 3rd at Champions Cup, 5th at DDO, 6th at OTB. Yeah. I think Rick needs to be up there in that top 4.
Probably jump up,
because realistically, if you went Rick compared to AB in recent history, like, Rick is going to win.
Yeah, he probably...
Let's just go Ricky versus AB.
He probably now is, because I feel like AB's had a stretch here where he's just kind of been top 15, but he hasn't been...
Because those 3 wins are going to hold AB up there, because Ricky's now 4-5 against AB, 5-4 for the other way, but... Basically, AB beat him the first four weeks.
Yeah,
and then
it's been long enough. I'd say you can move Rick up.
Well, but okay,
it's been a long time.
It's been a month.
Yeah,
a month straight of Ricky beating AB.
That's four events in a row. Right,
4 events in a row. Ricky's went 3rd, 3rd, 5th, 6th. AB's went 7th, 10th, 14th, 18th. AB's also slipping. 7, 10, 14, 18.
That's true.
He went 1, 4, 1, 1, 7, 10, 14, 18. I think we need to wake AB up.
Let's wake him up. I know he's going to be watching. Yeah,
this is a big deal.
This is a wake-up call. Anthony, Antonio.
Welcome to 4.
Wake up.
All right, so we go Calvin, Gannon, Ricky, AB, Niklas, Dickerson, Kyle Klein, Ezra, Gavin Rathbun, Andrew Presnell. Let's look at Dickerson to Kyle Klein really quick. Dickerson did not play this event. Kyle Klein also did not play this event. Therefore, we don't move him.
No,
Ezra Robinson. Let's look at Ezra compared to Dickerson and just see, because I feel like Ezra's been dirty, and you got to reward the guy that's
Dickerson's
playing.
Dickerson's been insane.
We got to reward the guy that's playing.
Ezra Robinson did win Masters Cup.
Yeah, Dickerson's 5-3 against him.
He's been crazy.
And beat him at DDO last time they faced off. So I think we're good here. I like this. Okay, so. Again, that's Calvin 1, Gannon 2, Ricky 3, AB 4, Niklas 5, Dickerson 6, Kyle Klein 7, Ezra 8, Gavin Rathbun 9, Andrew Presnell 10.
Delicious.
That's our top 10.
We got it a predicament here in FBO.
Now, on FBO, we have Kristen Tatar 1, Missy 2, Owen 3, Holland 4, Evelina 5.
The problem is Kristen is now about to be... We have to put her in a ghost number 1 spot. Make the spot. It has to be done. Because she's been gone for 4 weeks, but she's still the best player in the world. Ghost number one, Kristen.
Okay,
did this for Eagle, we're doing it for Kristen.
Who's the other number one? Right now, who do you think?
Gosh.
Let's look at the results from this past weekend.
Yeah. I need to just go to the Pro Tour standing. That's an easy way to look back at it.
Well, Evelina Solanin leads right now, but Evelina was not here.
She's a tricky one because she's chilling over in
Europe. So, Owen came in 4th. Holland came in 3rd. Ella obviously won. Missy Gannon came in 9th.
Okay, but Missy did have the
Evelina
last
win. Did go win at Champions Cup, win at Copenhagen, and has a win at chess. I think Evelina's the best player in the world right now.
How the heck are we going to jump her up from 5? What was our thought process last week that landed her there?
I think we overlooked her. Did we ever move her after she won Champions Cup?
Surely.
Because we did Champions Cup and DDO together. I don't think we touched it. Because, let's just go head-to-head Evelina versus Own.
Maybe what we had done is we just recency biased DDO too much, and we were just like, well, Evelina's in Europe now. Let's just keep her in the five spot.
But she won in Europe. Full Pro Tour.
Oh, my gosh. Hunter, that's not true.
Here's what I will say about the FPO European. Is it did have Henna, all those players did go over.
That is a good point.
The FPO field
different.
Is much more evenly split than the MPO
cook,
field.
Let him cook.
So that is something you have to factor in.
That's true. Let him cook now.
Okay, let's go just Elite Series and Majors. Evelina beats Own this season 4-3 with 2 wins to Own's 1. One of those wins being a major, and that's also not factoring in.
Yeah, no, you make a compelling point.
So even without Copenhagen, she is better than Own Skagen this season.
It's a compelling point.
I think Evelina is the best player in the world, and I think we were just big, big dum-dums not having her there before.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that we were big dum-dums.
I think Evelina is number one. Because I think there's even a point to say that she's been better than Kristen this year.
Could be said.
Okay, so Evelina 1. Probably need to have Own Skagen at 2.
But Missy just won at DDO. Just won.
Yeah, but then came in 9th. Oh, but Own Skagen came in 9th at DDO.
Yeah, so what are you talking about, bruv?
I don't know.
You gotta stay
Holland
right
Hanley
there.
Went 4th-3rd at DDO OTB.
She'd been good. She just can't win.
Okay, so maybe we just leave this as is, and since it opens up a 6th spot, we just slide Ella Hansen in.
Fair point.
To 6th place. I think we do that with just 5th place.
She won.
She won. So right now we have Kristen at the Ghost number 1.
Ghost number 1.
Evelina Solonen 1. Missy Gannon 2. Own Skagen's 3. Holland Hanley 4. Ella Hansen 5.
Mwah, chef's kiss.
Like it. Love it. Perfect. Want some more of it. All right. That's the top 10 and retrospectively the top 5. I don't know if I used that word right, but it felt right. Now it's time for the Silas Select.
You mind if I give... I came up with an idea.
You know they hate when you do that.
Well, that was a purposeful drum roll, though.
I came up with an idea for a punishment for a video. You mind if I say it?
Go for it.
Yeah.
So it would be...
For the record, I'm making sure I'm not touching the disc because I think I'd be able to feel it if I actually grabbed it. Right, so I'm holding nothing.
Stop.
I'm just telling you I'm holding nothing.
Stop it, Hunter.
Okay. Stop moving around like that.
Stop smelling.
Sorry. Seriously.
It made me think of it whenever you guys were talking about the big eagle jersey that he was wearing. Okay. And it would be really funny if for a punishment for a video, whoever lost had to go into just a local tournament. Just a small local tournament, the one that happens at Timbrook every once in a while or something like that. And the other two design a disc golf jersey for them.
What's funny is
it's got graffiti all over it. It just says I am the best.
We would probably show up and get compliments on the jersey.
And I think that we're gonna make it gaudy.
Are we allowed to sell it?
Arrogant.
Are we allowed to sell it after?
No. And it's going to be it has to be arrogant. Too.
The hardest part about this punishment is that somebody has to take a day out of their weekend and play the tournament. That's way worse than the jersey.
Yes.
I was just thinking you got to show up in the next video rocking it.
No, that doesn't. But that,
and
but
to work
then
all
it's
day.
Just that's funny.
You have to wear it all day.
That's not very difficult, though, because I just won't.
And no, it'll be a day where we you have to go to Sam's. We go out to get lunch.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah.
It's a day where we're going in public 4 or 5 times.
Trevor was about to say, if you take me to lunch.
Well, as I'm saying, I just put on the jersey in that case.
Never mind.
It depends on how bad the jersey is, right? Because it's and you can't make it say something that would get us in trouble.
We'll get one of those flowery golf
balls. But I just don't know if you could make something.
Even if it just said basket, prepare to feel my wrath.
I don't know if that's bothering.
And you're not allowed to comment
on the jersey.
The problem is, if I show up to a tournament, people already know I'm ironic.
What would bother me would be the loud Hawaiian polos.
Yeah.
That are getting some steam right now. I won't say the name of the brand because, not a sponsor.
Yeah, I don't
but if you bought me one of those, I would play as hard as possible not to wear that.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe there's motivation then.
But it has to be equal. It has to be equal for you. Because it seems you don't get 2 rips.
Oh, shiving me timbers. I'm terrified.
What's in this bag?
I'm getting putter, or as the kids would say, it's giving putter.
Okay.
If that's what I'm getting, I'm gonna run away from it.
Okay.
I'm really stupid. It's a
Hades.
Okay. We don't even have Hades out there.
We do. Bear bite.
There's right at the front of the U section. There's a Hades.
I don't think he goes used.
I'm just saying there is. And he does sometimes.
Dude, Trevor's snapping today.
I'm going.
He's reading the frequencies.
Give me a TL3, Big Hunt.
He's not just going to
get it. I want a Prodigy MX2.
That was probably the dumbest guess I've ever
Prodigy
had.
Prodigy MX2.
TL3, is it just dumb enough to work?
It's Origin.
Origin, that was on the table, man.
Dude,
that was there for us.
Was that giving you an MX2 vibe when we first touched it?
Well, when I touched the plastic, it felt like 500. Mm-hmm. I was like, I might have just done it.
That's cheap.
Well, no. I was pulling it out, Silas. I'd already guessed that I was pulling it out of the bag. I wasn't feeling it. If I had closed my eyes and felt it, I think I would have been able to get Origin.
Dude.
Dang. All right. Well, not today. One of these days.
That's basically in between a putter and a Hades.
Dinky.
It is between a putter and a Hades.
Good job.
Somewhere in the middle there.
You win. Congratulations.
There you have it. That wraps it up for this week. Appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. Talk to you again next week.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.